you still have your finger in James chapter 1, go ahead and turn there, or just reopen into James chapter 1. We are going to be starting a study in the book of James. As the weeks come, it'll probably take a good amount of time to go through the entire book, but greatly looking forward to seeing what the Lord has in store for us as we go through his word. To put some background on what we just read in the book of James. James is a book that is written to believers that are scattered abroad. And the book of James is a little different than a lot of the other New Testament books that we see. As we see that they were writing a lot of times to specific churches, whereas James is writing to believers scattered abroad in a general sense to pass it on, much like Peter wrote his those books of the Bible were for believers scattered abroad as well. But the book of James is one that is often looked at and said to be a practical book. And the reason why a lot of people say that is because James goes almost one after another, after another, after another, of specific practical things for the Christian's life from learning from Scripture. And so we'll see that as we go through that there are a lot of lessons that we as believers have here in the book of James that God gives us, and also very practical for our lives as well, and how we ought to be living in our daily life. And sometimes there's not even a great transition into him. He just kind of goes in order, but it is a great book of the Bible, as all Scripture is truly, but as we'll go through this and see what this will hold for us as we can do a study through the book of James on our Sunday mornings. As you might have already noticed as I read the first four verses of the book of James in chapter 1, it might be a familiar verse, but it is a section of Scripture that has to do with the subject of the Christian's life, and particularly during the times of trials. Now, trials are often looked upon, and we see them that they are things that are we go through, a lot of times hardships and difficulties that the Lord allows in our life. But this morning, we're going to see as we go through those as believers, because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, Scripture is very clear that you go through trials, and you will continue to go through trials until the Lord returns or until he calls us home. And so James here outlines in how we ought to react to these trials that are in our life. But let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you once again for the day that you've given us. I pray, Lord, as we go and look in your word, Lord, I pray that you be with each one of us to allow our hearts to be open. Allow us to put away pride, Lord. Allow us to put on humility as we come before your word, and allow us to have the Spirit speak to us as we do so, Lord. And I pray that you allow us to be good hearers of your word as well, and not just ones that allow it to go in one ear and out the other, but allow us to have a great desire or a hunger this morning, Lord, that as we go through your word, we are seeking how we might grow closer to you and how we might strengthen our life for you, Lord, this morning. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So as I'd mentioned, as we looked in these first couple of verses, we see right off the bat in verse number 2, James says, "My brethren, count it joy, all joy, when ye fall into diverse temptations." And so we first see how we ought to react is to have joy during trials. Diverse temptations there in verse number 2. As we see James beginning to explain the subject of this text, which is trials, it deals with how a Christian should act in the face of trials in their life. and the purpose of those trials as well. And I think it's important to note that it does not say, and that word temptation has a meaning of trials. You'll hear me probably say the word trials a lot more. Is the meaning of that word has much more to do with trials that we face rather than temptations from outward in our flesh, though it's a part of it. But these trials that we go through in our life that we face on a regular basis as believers, as we look at them, as we experience them, as we live through them, it's important to have the right attitude as we live our lives. And it's important to note that it does not say if a trial comes, but James here says when one does. He says, my brethren, count it joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Trials in a Christian's life should be no surprise to us whatsoever. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 4, in verse number 12, Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. As we go through trials in our life, it should not be a shock to us. I'm pretty sure I've already used this phrase once from this pulpit last week. It's a great phrase that we as believers are either in the midst of a trial or in between two trials. And Scripture tells us there, we just read in Peter, don't be surprised when they come into your life. They will be in your life. There is difficulty that we face on a regular basis in our life as believers. I also like to note that not only does he say when trials come into your life, not if, but when, he also mentions diverse or various trials. James here does not point out just one type of trial that one might go through. So James here is covering in a general language all types of trials that we might face, both what we might see. A lot of times we often view things, you know, maybe as big or small, but this is encompassing all the trials that we might go through in our lives as believers. And now trials, they come in many different forms in our life. Sometimes they're financial. Maybe there's financial hardships that you go through that the Lord allows. Maybe there are family issues, like extended family or different situations. Maybe it's a sickness that you or a loved one has, or maybe it's a tragedy, or maybe it's persecution as well. They are often times in which our faith is tested as we go through these difficulties. And I can probably very confidently say that believers here today, if I was to take a poll, all of you could probably say that you have firsthand knowledge on trials in your life. And if I would continue that poll, that some of you would say you have faced very difficult trials throughout your life at various times. And I think it would be fair to say that trials often are something that when we look at them, they're not something that we're eagerly seeking to go through again. After we face a trial and go through a hardships and these difficulties, we often don't come out and say, I can't wait for another problem to come into my life. Let's do it. No. We often are not looking at that in that way. Because why? Because they're hard. They're difficult. They're pressing. A lot of times they can add stress to our life. And so they're often things that we don't seek to want to do again because of our experience through them. I remember years back, when I was 17, I went on a skiing trip with my school. It was my first time ever going skiing, and I was told right off the bat, apparently the later you learn in life and the taller you are, the harder it is to learn. But I was excited. My friends had all been skiing before, and so I was going out there, and I was the only one that went to the bunny hill, which was a little embarrassing. But I was trying to learn, and I probably would only make it about halfway down the bunny hill before I fell. And about two or three times going down the bunny hill trying to learn, I had a friend come up to me. He's like, you want to go down one of the big ones? And I said, well, I haven't even been able to go down the bunny hill. He's like, oh, meaning I fall all the time. It's fine. Let's just go for it. And 17-year-old me said, that sounds like an amazing idea. Let's go do that. And so we went up this giant hill, more of a mountain, really. And my friend guided me to the trail, and we started going down. And about every 20 to 50 feet, I'd collapse and I'd fall. But he was doing the same thing, so we'd pick ourselves back up and we'd keep going. But there is one point where I caught a little bit of air going way faster than I ever should have, and I fell directly on my shoulder and heard a big crack. And some of you might be already ahead of this. I ended up breaking my clavicle, a clean break, nothing attached. The bone was on top of bone. Not only that, but this ski place was about 4 hours from where I lived on a school retreat in the middle of nowhere in northern Michigan. I got taken to the nurse's station because I had actually passed out from shock or pain and woke up with my head in the snow, having no idea how much time went by. Finally got seen by the nurse, and he told me, well, it could be a sprain. We don't know. We don't have that equipment. You have to wait to go to the doctor's when you get home. Because I was 17, the only medication they could give me because I was still a minor was two ibuprofens for that broken bone. And did I mention this was in the beginning of the trip? This was in the first hour and a half of this all-day event. I called my parents, who were both at work, and they said, well, when you get home, we'll take you to the urgent care, and we'll get an x-ray, and we'll figure it out from there. So I end up with a broken shoulder sitting, waiting for 6 hours. Finally, we get on the bus. The other joy was the bus. I don't know if you've been on one. They bounce and they rock and they move the bones around, that I quickly learned. And then I finally got back and got an x-ray, and sure enough, it was a clean break. Now, I say that was my first time ever going skiing. That's also the last time I will ever go skiing. I was invited the next year to go once again with the school trip, and I said, no way am I going skiing again. And I have stayed true to that for the past 10 years, that I have not been skiing since. I've gone sledding, which is much safer in my eyes, but not skiing, and I will probably never go skiing again. And it is just, it was a horrific situation that I went through. It was a great amount of pain that I had to deal with over that long period of time. And it's something I'm not looking to repeat whatsoever in my life. And I think oftentimes it can be easy to look at trials and have that same attitude. That when we go through difficulties, when we go through hardships, we look at that and say, I never want to go through that again. I never want to go through these trials. They are horrible. They are horrific. They are hard. And it's so easy to have that mindset, to have that attitude, to look at the trials that we go through in our life as something that is greatly negative or something that is greatly against us and just going through hardship. It's so easy to have that mindset through trials. But that's not how James says that we should look at trials in our life. He says in verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Though trials are often difficult and heavy, James describes how we might evaluate them correctly. Are trials hard? Yes. Are they heavy sometimes? Absolutely. But are we told that we are to have joy and to see them and to evaluate them as joyous things? Yes. And James goes on and describes, because you might be saying, why are these things supposed to be joyful? Why are you supposed to have joy in these trials? And James outlines them here, and we're told to have joy. And I know that this is probably a simple truth that you've heard before, that we as believers are to have joy in our life, even through hardships, even through trials. And though it might be a very simple truth, that if I would have said right off the bat to everyone here this morning, are you to be enjoy even through hardships and trials, I would imagine most of you would say, well, yeah, we're to count those as joy. It's a very simple idea, but a very difficult application oftentimes. Though this might be common knowledge, it comes sometimes not easy in practice. And trials can be hard, they can be heavy, and we often don't wake up in the morning hoping that we go through one. And when you are in the midst of a trial, it is very important to remember why you should count them as joy. First reason why we count trials as joy is because it develops patience and Christian character. James gives a few reasons in the beginning of our text. And we see in verse number three, knowing this, that trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so we see that though trials are hard, we count them joy because of what they bring, what they produce. James explains that what is produced by trials during these difficulties is patience and spiritual maturity. Patience here is not the idea of a passive acceptance of what has happened, but rather it is looking forward at the difficulties that are in the present and future as well. And patience or endurance is something that God wants us to have, that he wants us to have endurance. He wants us to have patience as we serve him. And it's by patience that one is able to learn and receive other blessings as we endure, as we serve him. Someone who is extremely impatient is probably not going to be able to learn or grow much at all. Sadly, what often comes in the midst of trials and difficulties is the great temptation just to walk away and from it, or to go away from the Lord instead of enduring patiently through the trials that we face. And there are many examples in Scripture where someone or a group of people got impatient with God, and the result of that was they dealt with much sorrow. When a believer learns to wait on the Lord, then God can do great things through him. The use of the word perfect here, and that you might see it in verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word perfect there in our text is not having the meaning of one being perfect. It's not saying that if you go through these trials and you have joy and you have patience, that you will be perfect. It's not carrying that idea. The idea of that word perfect is mature, that you grow, that you mature. And if you are faithful and patient through a trial, you develop spiritual maturity. Trials, though hard, are an opportunity to grow as believers and grow in Christ-likeness. You know, we see this not just here, but we see this truth in also 1 Peter, just a couple pages over in chapter 1, of how God uses trials to grow us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 6, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And we see that phrase in 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 6, if needed, talking about trials. This indicates that there are special times when God knows we need to grow in a certain area, and he allows trials into our lives to grow us. Whether the trial might be used to lead us closer to him or prepare us for something he has in the future. We see that Paul even dealt with difficulties of things that God placed in his life to keep him close to God in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse number 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." What's going on in that text, as we just jumped in 2 Corinthians, Paul had these amazing revelations that God brought to him that are so great, he says, that they can't even be spoken. And he says that because of that, God put a thorn in his flesh to humble him, that he would not think greater of himself having these revelations, but to make sure that he remained humble and obedient to God. And so we see there that God used that to grow and to help Paul in his walk with him. And God uses trials in our life as well. You know, as we go through different things, and a lot of times when we look back, I know I can do that. I can see different trials that I've been through that God allowed in my life and even put there that grew me for something in the future, that prepared me to serve him in a future opportunity that he had for me. And so we see that trials often grow us, because it's often through difficulties, it's often through hardships that as we walk in obedience to God, we strengthen. 1 Peter talks about that as well, that our faith is compared to gold being purified through fire. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with gold. I honestly am not that familiar with it. I know it's a metal that's worth a lot of money. The most research I've ever done is when I bought my wife's engagement and wedding band. But one thing I do know is the higher purity of gold that is on that specific item, the more money it's worth. And they talk about 14 or 24 karat and all those words. And my limited understanding is that the higher the karat, the more pure that gold is. Well, if you don't know, one of the ways that they purify gold, it might be the only way, is that they melt it. They put it under intense heat to remove or burn away the impurities that are on that gold. And so as this great fire comes around this gold and it melts it, it helps burn away impurities. It helps make that gold more valuable. And it's somewhat similar in our lives as Christians as we face difficulties. Oftentimes through trials that we grow closer to God as a result, as we cling to him that help us through these times of need. And other times it helps prepare us for future times as we go through and we strengthen our faith as we go through these hardships, as we stand faithful through these trials, our faith is strengthened. And also we learn from them. As we seek through scripture to go through them and the Holy Spirit leading us, and as we face different situations, God uses that to help teach us. And so we first see that trials, the reason they can be counted as joy is because what they produce, which is patience and spiritual maturity. That these hardships that you're going through are not just for nothing. Wouldn't that be just so sorrowful to go through all these hardships for no reason? But we see that one of the reasons is that we might grow and that we might grow closer to God as well. But not only in that, but we see also that as a believer goes through trials, it is an opportunity to bring glory to God. Our faith is important because it results in the praise and glory to God. Going over again just a couple pages to where we were in 1 Peter, as 1 Peter deals in that first chapter a lot about trials. In verse number 7, it says, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." I think it's probably known that when we turn away from God and we falter and we turn to sin, that does not bring glory to God. But when we are faithful, when we are serving Him, even through difficulties, and we strengthen through Him through those times, that brings glory to Him in His name. And so, not only do we grow as believers, but we also are able through this, as we serve God, to honor and glorify Him. Which is, if you think about that, even the aspect that we're able to bring glory to God, and other parts of Scripture talks about that, and Peter does. Do you know how amazing that is? That we as sinners, that we as people who have turned away from Him, who did not deserve everlasting life, but it's through Christ that we can serve Him and turn away from sin, that we can, through our actions, bring glory to God. Is God Almighty? What an amazing opportunity and an amazing thing that we are able to do as we serve God. And I would say this as well, that He is worthy of that service as well, to bring glory to Him. 2 Corinthians, in the first couple chapters, Paul deals a lot with hardships, especially in chapter 4. Paul deals with different hardships that he goes through and others go through for the sake of the gospel and teaching of it. And a phrase that is repeated a couple times in that section, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is "for the sake of Jesus Christ." That you go through these hardships for Christ's sake. Can I say we have one of the greatest reasons to endure through trials, which is Christ? And on top of that, as we do so, to bring glory to Him. What an amazing opportunity that we have. Do not look at trials as something that is sorrowful or something that is miserable. But look at them as something that is joyous. To have joy through them. The word in our text there, that in verse number 2, "My brethren, count it all joy." That word "count" right there is a financial term with a meaning to evaluate. So as we evaluate what the trials produce in our lives, as we serve God faithfully, we are joyful. And now yes, are trials hard? Yes. Are they trying? Yes. Are they sometimes heavy? Yes. Do they sometimes last for a long period of time? Yes. But what trials produce in the life of a believer is far more valuable than any temporary hardships that we might go through. Again, we need to have the mindset that we're not having a mindset that is solely focused on the things of this world, that we're not having a sole focus on the things around us, these temporary hardships, but have a focus that which is on the things which are above, which are growing and maturing spiritually, to be able to bring honor and glory to God. Like I mentioned in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, Paul goes through a lot of different types of persecution and hardships that believers face as they proclaim the gospel. And in verse number 17, it says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." the temporary hardships that we face here on earth, and the things that we go through. And again, in this section, Paul has just gone through different hardships and persecution that a believer faces. And then Paul describes them as light afflictions. And some of you might be saying, you know, I've been through some pretty rough stuff. They didn't feel that light to me. They felt quite heavy. They felt hard. They felt tiring. He's not saying that overall they're light. But he says, for one light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For VBS, we often take offering, and it's one of my favorite times of the year as we go into it. And one thing that when I was interning at my parents' home church, it used to be my home church, we were able to work in VBS, and I worked very closely with their assistant pastor, Pastor Matt Fisher. And one of the things we wanted to do is we wanted to make it as amped up as possible is probably a word, but just exciting. Exciting is probably a better word. To just make it as exciting as possible for the kids. And so we had the idea to build a massive scale out of 2x4s. And we would take 5-gallon buckets, and I had bought in bricks, and I had spray painted them gold and told the kids that we were putting, you know, some type of gold in their buckets. And it was based on the offering that we brought. Now, one of the things we wanted to do is that when we had the idea is that when one team wins, we want it to be known that they won. We didn't really want the scale to kind of go back and forth a little bit and one tips over maybe a centimeter more. No, we wanted it to be exciting that you knew who won the second we let go of that scale. And so what we would do is we would put one brick in the losing side's bucket, and we would put about 10 others in the other bucket. And when we let go of that scale, that other bucket would come crashing down, and the kids would go ecstatic. Now, in that one bucket, the bucket that was demonstrating those who lost, there was weight in there. There was a brick in that bucket. It wasn't that there was no weight in the other bucket. It was in comparison to the eternal weight of glory, that there is no comparison, that one brick, though it might be heavy, is considered light. As we look towards spiritual things rather than the things of temporal, and we have that focus that when we look at how we might grow spiritually, how we might be able to serve God, and we have the view set of looking at the eternal weight of glory, the hardships and things that we do on this earth, we can have the view that they are light. And not only that, we can joyfully go through them because of what they produce in our life and what they as well are able to bring honor and glory to God through our actions. And it's an amazing thing that when we have that perspective, trials, we can count them as joy. And there's many in this world who cannot understand that idea. And there's been some said that when unsaved members look at the difficulties that believers go through, and they see maybe difficulties that a specific person goes through, and there seems to be a time of joy, there seems to be a time of rejoicing, even among those trials, the unbelievers look and they say, I just don't understand. How are they joyful? Do they not realize what's happening around them? They say, I don't understand how they can do that. And the reason they can't understand that is because they don't know who our Savior is. They don't know what we have through Christ. They don't know the opportunities that we have and the things that we are able to do through Him. Believers, we have an opportunity as we go through trials to count them as joy, and to, even as we go through them, to grow through them, to strengthen our spiritual life, and also to bring glory and honor to God as we do so. Do not look at trials as sorrowful or miserable things, but count them joy for what they can do in your life. And as we see, as we'll go into the next couple of verses, that as we go through these trials, God does not just leave us empty-handed. God doesn't just put these trials in our life and walk away and say, "Handle it yourself." Verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven from the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all ways." So not only can we, that through trials that we can have joy, but we can also have wisdom as we go through trials. To have wisdom. The Lord is gracious to offer wisdom to those who lack it. During trials is a perfect time to have wisdom, so one can navigate through the hardships and take advantage of the opportunities that God has given to them. A very simple definition of wisdom is the right use of knowledge from God in our daily life. It is applying the knowledge, especially the knowledge that we have from God's word, and applying it to our daily life. In Proverbs 16:16, scripture says that wisdom is more valuable than gold. And one might ask, why would we ask for wisdom in the midst of a trial? Why wouldn't we ask for strength? Why wouldn't we ask for power? Why wouldn't we ask just for the Lord to end the trial? One commentator answered that question as they said, "We need wisdom so we will not waste the opportunity God has given us to mature. Wisdom helps us understand how to use the circumstances for our good and God's glory." See, wisdom is valuable to have during a trial, and if any of us are lacking wisdom, God graciously gives it to us when we ask. God freely gives wisdom to those who ask, but we do see here that James does outline to those who ask correctly. We are to ask in faith. We are not to have doubt of any kind or go back and forth every few moments. Doubt or unbelief is a great enemy to answered prayer. James describes the doubt or unbelief as a wave that is in the sea, that at a moment it comes high and goes low. That this doubt or unbelief is like that. It's someone who goes up and down, rather than securely having their eyes on God faithfully. Just as an unbeliever with faithful following the Lord is stable, we see that one who has doubt in their life becomes back and forth as they go to serve God. And there are many causes of this, but I think the biggest often cause of why doubt enters us during times of trials is often because of fear. When we go through trials and become fearful of the circumstances around us, it begins to bring doubt, and we begin to lose a little bit of our faith in God to get us through it. And now when we look at this, doubt is a very, very dangerous thing. In Matthew chapter 14, we see an account in Matthew chapter 14 of Peter becoming fearful and losing faith in God's protection in his life. Matthew 14, verse number 27, it says, "But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the waters to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" Often during our times, as we go through hardships and trials, that we start to doubt, we start to become fearful. When we go through difficulties, is a time where we should have our focus on Christ, that as we walk through a storm, as Peter did, to have our eyes focused on him and have faith that he will protect us, that he will get us through that point. But what happened with Peter? Peter began to see the winds around him. He began to see the storm around him and seeing the chaos of it. And he began to doubt. He took his eyes off Christ and began allowing fear and doubt to enter his mind. And he began to sink. And we see that Jesus pulls him out and says, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" As we go through trials, we need to have faith in God that he will help us through and that he will not put more on us than we can handle. He's told us so in Scripture. And I will say that he will not give us more than we can handle through him. Not on our own selves, through him. But oftentimes when we face difficulties and hardships and we become in allowing fear and doubt to enter our mind, we stray away from God. Oftentimes when we are faced with difficulties and whatever it might be, sometimes we become fearful and we try to handle things in our own way. We try to take control. We try to steer in our own direction. When God has called us to follow him in his guidance. And as we go through these trials, it's important that we have a submissive will, that we have a strong faith in God as we go through them. We should not allow doubt to hinder our ability to grow and mature and to glorify God. When we go through trials, we need to remain faithful to our Lord. And if we ask him faithfully, if we are looking at God and saying, you know, Lord, I have faith in you that you will get me through this. I'm praying, will you give me wisdom? What does Scripture say that God does? It says that he gives it liberally, that he gives it to those who ask. He is a loving Father who cares for us, who wants to help us. But we need to maintain having faith in him even through hardships and trials. And I've also said, if you're one here who is maybe struggling with that aspect of having complete faith in God through difficulties in your life, I've often said that a thankful heart is a faithful heart. That if you go and you look at everything that God has done in your life and you see how he has helped you and how he has grown you and how even through your own salvation, seeing how he saved you through the death of Jesus Christ, that you can say, you know, my God is an awesome God. Look what he has done in my life in the past. I have faith that he will continue in the future and the present. But we need to make sure that we are remaining faithful, that we're not straying away into our own handling or our own guidance or our own wisdom, but that we're faithfully seeking to serve God in the trials that he's allowed into our life. And as we go through them faithfully, to seek wisdom from him and asking and praying, Lord, give me wisdom. How do I handle this circumstance? And God has said in James chapter 1 that he gives wisdom to those who ask. He will. He will. Trials are often a difficult time. Trials are often a time that are not looked forward to us. But I encourage you this morning, as we went over and seeing what trials produce in the life of a believer and seeing the growth that we can have spiritually and seeing how we might bring glory to God as we faithfully serve him, to see how joyous trials actually are in our life because what they produce. Now, I'm not saying that it will be easy. I'm saying that the things that are produced from that trial are far worth it. And it's a joyous occasion that that the Lord has even brought those things into our life and that we have those opportunities to grow and to glorify him. And we need to make sure as we walk faithfully that we don't allow fear, we don't allow the things around us, the circumstances around us, to dictate in how we act. Peter allowed fear and doubt to enter his mind when he looked at the storm around him and he began to sink. We need to keep our focus on God. We need to keep our focus on him as we go through difficulties and faithfully serve him in the midst of hardships and trials. And he will get us through it. He will give us wisdom to handle the circumstances that he's allowed in our lives. And as we look at this, I hope that we have a correct outlook or a correct perception of what trials are in our lives. They're not just something that we look at and say, oh, trials, another one. But that we can say joyfully, the Lord is using this trial to grow me. The Lord is using this that I might serve him and bring glory to him. And that as we go through these trials, that we might have joy to evaluate what they are and what they produce and have joy as we are in the midst and even as we look back on what God has done in our life as well, to have joy in his working in our life. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you be with us. Father, I don't know the situation of everyone here, but you do. I'm sure there's some here that are facing trials, Lord, in their life. They're facing difficulties. They're facing hardships. I pray, Lord, that they faithfully seek to serve you in them, that they faithfully look at them as opportunities that they might grow closer to you and that they might glorify you, Lord, in their actions. And I pray that you give us wisdom as we face these trials, Lord. And Father, for those who might not be in the midst of a trial, those who might be in between two trials, I pray that we not lose the right perspective on what trials are in our life. Because, Lord, it's only a matter of time of when we will be in one once again. And I pray that we are ready, that we are looking at them correctly and seeking how we might serve you in the midst of them. Not just seeking escape, but seeking how we might serve you to the fullest of our ability and grow in you as a result. And I pray for this and for all of us. In Christ's name, amen.